you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. So good to see you, I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you, we're glad you're here.
Reading from Psalm 98, verse 1. Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Friday, November 12th, 2021. And I share that verse with you, Jason, and with our listeners, because it's like many of the verses, you know, singing the Lord a new song just as we approach him in the morning or in the evening or throughout the day. We're just praising him. We're worshiping him. We're thanking him for his goodness, his grace. But here this verse goes on, he has done marvelous things, and we can think about the great things he had done or the greatest thing he has done by sending Jesus and the price Jesus paid for us. That's the most marvelous of all things. But we can just look at the many marvelous things. We have health. We have the ability to make choices. Most of us are in a home with a roof over our head or an apartment. We have the choices of different foods, the ability to go out. Most of us have transportation or clothing or the ability to do things and choose careers or go to school. And then his right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. And so God's all about that redemptive work, helping people understand who Jesus is as Lord and as Savior, and how he's reached into humanity, coming the fully God-man, coming as Jesus to redeem us and to be our Savior. And so he's done many marvelous things, and the marvelous thing at all is pursuing us, becoming one of us, and, you know, the whole message, the good news message of Jesus, the gospel story that we get to tell. But I want to also say, Jason, as a veteran, you know, thank you for how you've served our country. Yesterday, we celebrated Veterans Day, and I hope that many of the veterans that are part of our radio listening family got honored. Maybe somebody saluted them or gave them a gift card or did a nice task or just pat them on the back and said thank you for your service, because it's because of you and our veterans that have served this country that we enjoy the freedom. So appreciate all of our veterans, and hopefully many of them felt loved on or felt the love of God poured into them, because we do owe them and their families the sacrifices that the families give when their loved one is off, whether it's across the world or at camp or training or wherever they're at. So we appreciate our veterans. And then one other thing I wanted to point out is our Great News Media Center, we're making great progress. Everything is in. I'm unloading many of the boxes and putting things in place. And Jim Gunther's been there a number of times this week doing the measuring and getting things set to build the studio, or I should say the countertop that'll kind of host the studio area, and where Marianne will be and Holly will be. And we're getting ready to put the cabinets up in the back kitchen area and putting things together. We ordered on Wednesday 4 of these red chairs. So they're kind of like bar stools, but they're nice. They're red and stainless steel. And we wanted to go with red, so as people come up to, you know, near Lens Crafters or Old Navy and they look at the window, they'll see these eye-catching red chairs. And that's when I do the studio interview, because the studio will be right up front near the windows. So people walking by, it'll be like WGN in Chicago, where people press their noses against the window. Hey, what's going on in there? Hey, I think they're doing a live broadcast. So we have these red chairs ordered. I think they get delivered next Monday or this coming Monday. So the turnaround's pretty quick. And so we're making great progress and appreciate the funds that have come in to help us pay for all this and getting the electric and it all painted and set and ready to go. And just appreciate that opportunity that I think the Lord's presented us. And yesterday I was in Springfield meeting with some staff and some future people that'll be interviewed, and love both of the studio setups that the Lord has given us, and we'll continue to keep working maybe once a week or every other week in Springfield. So God's really raised up these three different studios, and we couldn't be happier, and we can't wait to be entirely set up at Marketplace Mall in Champaign to afford us opportunity to reach many people in the mall, the workers, the local community, and see what kind of events. One thing I've been praying about, I think I mentioned this to Tasha and you this past Sunday, and it looks like the mall's open to that, but because there's a garden area right outside our new location between LensCrafters and Old Navy, there's seating for, I don't know, 20, 30 or so people, a garden area. And I thought, wouldn't it be neat if we worked with a number of churches this December, and they all provided carolers. So one church, Community Evangelical Free Church from 2 to 3, has some carolers singing Christmas tunes and arrangements. And then 3 to 4, another church. And 4 to 5, maybe a parachurch organization or InterVarsity or something has a number of their people that come and sing. And we just have that presented outside as people are coming in to shop and drive by. And I think we could have hot chocolate and some fun things. And so the mall, I think, is very open to us doing that. And so I'm praying it all up and figuring out how it can work. And obviously, if the weather cooperates, you know, at that point, there might be snow or it might be freezing cold. It's hard to know here in Illinois what the weather's going to be like, but we're looking at maybe that Saturday or that weekend before Christmas, because the mall officially yesterday stated that because of COVID restrictions and indoor requirements and such, that the Singing Men won't be putting on a Christmas concert in the food court. So that was determined that we won't have our Christmas concert in the food court like we've had for 21 other years that we had. We didn't meet last year because of COVID, and again, they're going to continue because of the restrictions and spacing and mask requirements in the mall, that won't happen. But they're very open to us having carolers maybe outside our studio. And so I'm hoping to put that together. And who knows, maybe some of the Singing Men will be a part of one of those time slots if I do have 5 or 6 or 8 different churches supplying carolers, or maybe a community group comes together and wants to sing. I think we can bring out a keyboard and work it, so it might touch a lot of lives. So we're excited about that, excited about the Springfield studio and meeting up with some friends there yesterday, and a lot of good things that I think God's going to do in the coming days. Oh, I wanted to tell the story. So many years ago, I had a guy discipling me. We called him Big Pete. There was Big Pete and Little Pete. Big Pete was this truck driver, you know, big. He always bragged about his, like, 22-arm biceps. He used to work out. He had one of those beards and goatees. He was like a tough trucker, and he really grew up on the tough side of town. And when the Lord got his heart, he became this big teddy bear, but he was tough, big biceps. And I played a lot of racquetball with him years ago. And so he was kind of an imposing figure. If you just saw him, you would say, if this is a bad guy, he's a real bad guy. But he was a good guy and gave his heart to the Lord. Well, part of the discipling of me, he wanted to meet at 5 in the morning. He was one of these, it's going to cost you to be discipled, and we're going to meet at 5 in the morning. And when we meet, you always need to have something that the Lord's doing in your life. So the first thing when we'd meet, he'd say, what's the Lord been teaching you? And so I knew that he not only required, he kind of demanded that the Lord was at work in my life. So sometimes I was up at like 2:30, 3, 4 in the morning studying God's word so I'd have something to share with him, because he required it. Because when he said, what's the Lord been teaching you? If the Lord wasn't teaching you anything, that was totally unacceptable. And he was pretty fierce and wanting, you know, some kind of response. So, you know, many times, you know, as you read God's word, as you live life, you see the Lord at work. And so I had stories to share and so forth. But there were a few times I was up early because I had to have something for Big Pete. And so I know sometimes once in a while you and I'll talk about, hey, what's the Lord been teaching you? Or, oh, you've been really passionate about prayer. Share some of those nuggets with me. And so I've appreciated how on many Fridays you share many of the things the Lord has been teaching you lately. But I don't think I've asked you that for a while. Is there any new thing that the Lord's been teaching you or emphasizing or bringing to mind?
It's interesting that you, you know, kind of threw out this psalm to talk about, because to open up the reading at the beginning of the program, because this psalm actually emphasizes what you're talking about, because it says, sing to the Lord a new song. And that means that we're to be cognizant of what the Lord is doing and what's going on around us and how the Lord is involved and invested in all the things around us. We're supposed to be looking for that, be aware of that. And then that creates in us a new song. Doesn't necessarily mean like you, every time you come before the Lord, you got to have a new song to sing. But it's this idea of coming before the Lord with a fresh sense of worship. And it's a fresh sense of worship because you have been involved and invested in looking at what the Lord is doing. You know, Jesus said, my Father is always at work, and I'm at work too. Jesus was looking at what the Father was doing and how the Father was at work. And as Jesus was in motion, he would see people in need, and he would see things that were broken, and he would see things that made him weep, and he would see things that needed healing. And in his humanity, he would have missed all that, I think, just like we miss all that, right? You know, we're so in motion sometimes that we miss all the things around us. And yet I think because he was looking at what his Father was at work in, where his Father was working, that he caught all of those moments. And those moments created for Jesus, I wouldn't say a fresh sense of worship, but they always brought him back to what was most important, which was the worship of the Father. And so I think for us, it's the same exact way. I mean, I know probably for you, Mark, and for so many people who are listening right now, that we can be so in motion. We got our to-do list in our hand, you know, 10 things we got to accomplish today before the kids get home from school, and we got to get them done. And so we put our head down. We even use that vernacular, right? I just got to put my head down and get this done.
Yeah.
Well, the problem is when we put our head down, the only thing we're focused on is what we're doing. We're only focused on what we have going on. And we miss all the things that God is at work in around us.
Yeah.
You know, and through that, what God is teaching us, even if, say, I see God at work in something, and it's not necessarily for me, it teaches me something, right? It teaches me about him. It reminds me of his goodness. It reminds him of how he cares about people who are lost and who are broken, who are wicked and despicable, who have missed the mark totally and who are hitting the mark. It teaches me something about God and his grace and his mercy and just who he is. And then some of those things are for me, and he's teaching me something personally in the midst of that. But God is always at work, and therefore God is always teaching us something. He's always drawing us near to him. He's always giving us the opportunity to learn more about him. And so the key, you know, the psalmist says, oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. Well, you need to be invested in looking around and seeing the things that God is doing and then realizing just how absolutely marvelous they are. And sometimes I think when you invest yourself in those stories around you, you not only see them in that moment, but you begin to follow them. And you begin to see how they unfold and they unravel and they unwrap themselves. And you start to go, God is so marvelous. Look at what he didn't just do this, but then he did this, this, and this. You know, one of the great examples, we had a conversation about this a couple of, maybe it was a year ago, maybe it was during COVID. We had a lot more conversations as a family during COVID because we had a lot of time to be together. You know, but we get around the table to eat dinner, and we always take turns praying. For some of our children, you know, it kind of became this rote prayer of, you know, thank you for this time around the table. Thank you for this food. Amen. And you know, I think at one point or another, Tasha or I think it was probably Tasha, because she does such a great job at this, said, isn't there anything you want to give thanks? Isn't there anything besides the table and our time around it and this food that's been put on the table that you want to take this moment to pause and thank God for? Have you really been looking at what he's doing? And so it led us in this conversation as a family of, what is God doing? Where has God brought us? I mean, we are nowhere where we should be based on where we started. You know what I mean? I mean, that sounds like a weird thing to say. But when I look back 10 years ago, where we are today is not where we should be. You know, some of the problems that my wife has and I have had, you know, in our marriage that we've had to work through difficulties. And I don't say that. Look, everybody's got problems. And if you're married, you probably got problems. Because marriage is difficult and marriage is hard. And marriage is a constant process. All of us who are married should be like, wow, how did we get this far?
Yeah,
because because the wheels should have fallen off the bus a whole long time ago based on all the kinds of twists and turns that have taken in that. And so we just walk with the kids through, like, all the things that God has brought us through, you know, and it was almost like in that moment we felt like I think we even said this. This is kind of like a Passover meal where we talk about our exodus and how God has brought us from one place to the other. And that's what the psalmist says right here, where he says, for God has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have gained him victory. And the idea of this is it's not just that you see his hand at work, but that he bears the arm that is connected to the hand. So he reveals his plan to you. He reveals himself to you, and he reveals how he has gained victory. And so it's not just that God has shown you just a little bit. So you go like, wow, thank you for your power. But it's also that he pulls his cloak up and he shows you his arm and he goes, and look at my promises, you know, that are connected to my plans. And then the psalmist goes on to say, the Lord has made known his salvation. His righteousness has been revealed in the sight of the nation. It's not just that God is doing marvelous things, but that God lets his marvelous things be evident to us publicly. You know, and not only that, but he tells us, in the Bible, we know the end of the story. It's not like we're going like, I wonder if this ends well or it ends bad, or I wonder, is it going to be a cliffhanger? No, he told us exactly how he ends. So he's made himself known right now today, and he's made himself known into the future, and he's done so that we would have reason to praise. So that if we're actually invested in looking to him, looking for him, that we would have no place where we couldn't raise praise, even in the midst of broken and horrible things. Abortion is a great example. I think about how many, you know, when we do the candlelight vigils and stuff, we always talk about how many babies. At the end, they ring the bell and they give the total of how many babies have died since Roe versus Wade was instituted and became a law. And it breaks your heart. But there also is a moment there. I think this happened the last time we were there. Is I leaned over to my wife and I said, you know what they should do at the end of this? They should tell you how many babies have been saved. Because, listen, let's not just deal in loss. Let's also deal in the victory of what God has done. That, yes, there are some who evil has grabbed a hold of and taken from us. But God is at work. God is doing something. And we need to be cognizant of that also, or else sometimes the story becomes about how bad everything is. And the Bible even says in Revelation that God is holding back the winds of the east and the west. He's withholding the evil, the full measure of evil that could blow across this world because of his grace. And so we have reason to praise, even in the midst of the most horrible things. You know, at church this Sunday, we're going to talk about Persecution Sunday. We're going to join other churches across the world in celebrating, you know, in the month of November, the persecuted church. And what's fascinating is when you watch these videos of the persecuted church, as horrible as they are, whether it's West Africa or China or India or the Sudan or Laos or wherever it is, you watch these stories that your stomach turns while you're watching them. And then at the end of the story, the person goes, but I wouldn't have it any other way because God is good. And you go, wait, what? you know, that God taught them something in the midst of this, and that God was leading them and guiding them, and even in the midst of dark and horrible things, giving them a new song to sing.
Yeah, I'm looking at this marvelous thing, and I think on a couple different messages you've given over the years, you would say, for instance, like, here's an answer to prayer. You know, the doctor was at the hospital at the right time to deal with this special surgery. And then you go back and, yeah, but look, that this had to have happened, and this person had to be in place here. And it's like this tapestry, or how these are all, like, it might have been 47 different things all strung together as only this marvelous God could do, to bring out this final result that the doctor happened to be there at the time, that this person happened to be there to rescue this person to get them to point A so point B could be accomplished. And so the marvelous thing about God is how he integrates all these different people or circumstances together to do these great works.
Yeah, he brings them together in that moment. You know, I was just talking the other day to our brother Larry Bunting, who had to go in and get a procedure done on Wednesday. And he called me Wednesday evening, and I said, how did the procedure go? And he said, they didn't do it. And I said, oh, Larry, why didn't they do it? He said, well, praise God, they had a guy there who said, wait a second, you've not been taking your blood thinners? And Larry said, why? I haven't been taking them because I was told I'm not supposed to take them for this procedure. And the guy said, oh, my gosh, if you don't take your blood thinners, then we could do irreparable damage in doing this procedure. And so when Larry told me that story, it was like a new song for me to sing.
Yeah.
Praise you, God. Thank you for watching over Larry. Thank you for having the right person there in that moment to say no, no, and no. To care for our brother because you love him. And so it gives us a new song to sing as we're invested in what God is doing around us.
Yeah. Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. That's the first verse of Psalm 98. And I love that part, you know, work salvation for him. God's all about bringing salvation and healing and hope through the Lord Jesus Christ as we surrender to him, as we recognize we're flawed, we're sinners, we fail, we can't earn our way into heaven. It's not about what we do or how well we do it or how we compare ourselves. Well, we're better than these mass murderers, or we're pretty moral, we go to church, we donate, we give to different causes. It's not about us. We can't earn our way into heaven. It's about the salvation, the plan that God provided through the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you've not accepted Jesus Christ into your heart, there's a phone number you can call, and there's people that can walk you through how to ask Jesus into your heart, how he is the Savior of the world. You can dial 1-888-NEED-HIM. That's 1-888-NEED-HIM. It's a free call. There's great people that can answer all your questions about the Christian faith. Who is Jesus? Can you trust the Bible? How do you have a relationship with God? Call 1-888-NEED-HIM, and you'll be blessed, and they'll pray with you. Jason, I just think as we enter into this weekend, you know, we should all be mindful of our pastors and praying for them so that they can declare clearly that salvation message through Jesus. So we'll be praying you up and the many pastors, and just thank God for the service that you and the pastors have in our lives, equipping us to go into all our worlds and share the good news message of Jesus. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day, night, and weekend.